is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Well, I sought the Lord about what to discuss tonight because I had any number of things I could have easily discussed. I was all ready to either continue with our series on the ministry of the Holy Spirit or to launch into some type of a Christmas thing, and I sensed in my heart that we needed to have one more night where we had discussion. So that's what we're doing. I know for a fact that there's a couple of things that I've heard over the last year and a half that people had questions about that have not come up, and probably because people feel like it's taboo, but there is no taboo. We made that pretty clear from the beginning. Now, if it's overly personal, that's one thing, but if it's talking about doctrine, things we've discussed, well, then that's, if we've discussed it, it's already been on the table at some point, so it's not a problem having it back on the table again. Everybody pretty much has received one of those checkoff, one of those lists that I gave you. I don't know that I brought mine up here. Someone who has it is welcome to read it.
What, the list?
The list, uh-huh.
Okay, well, about faith by another name, redefining faith, genuine faith, where faith comes from, faith and repetition, faith versus denial, who directs our faith. Faith is not a tool to get what you want out of God, the difference between faith in and faith for. Two kinds of faith, pistis and pistios.
Pistio. Mm-hmm.
Faith and confessions. All faith is works for the restoration of the soul. And there's what is a church, a safe place, sheepfolds and shepherds, elders, pastors, bishops, presbyters, rulers, judges, male leadership, plurality, the need for more than one shepherd, equality and authority, varying in giftedness, learning by leading, servant leadership, and there was freedom from and freedom to, hearts set free to love God, loving our brother, wallowing and whining, letting go, forgiveness, our sins against God or man, the need for retribution. Under healing is the healing ministry of Jesus, healing in the early church, various provisions for healing under the new covenant, gifts, callings, and special anointings, roadblocks to healing, healing and holiness, healing and the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the promised comforter, our co-partnership with God, continuing the ministry of Jesus, restoration, and oneness with God and oneness with each other.
Okay, and also, of course, the series on hearing God. Of course, I didn't have titles for that because I don't have them yet, but the whole series we've had on hearing God from Brother Rob as well. So those are things that have been covered over the last 3 years, essentially.
Well, I think the last one, oneness with God and oneness with each other, is exactly why we're doing what we're doing right now.
That's exactly right. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing. That we have agreement, that we have oneness. Remember, especially the one passage that we were reading that led to this was the one where we were looking up the different passages in Scripture where it talked about the joint partnership we have with Him. And there were three in particular we read. One of them talks about the fellowship of the Son, the fellowship of the Spirit, and then the fellowship of the mystery. The mystery had to do with the bringing in together the Jews and the Gentiles into one body. In that one there, in the fellowship of the mystery, and our co-partnership with Him in the mystery, is when He brought up the fact that we need to be of one mind and one judgment. Right? And so that's why we started doing this. So please don't miss your opportunities. Go ahead.
Something came up Sunday, and I was pretty insistent, but that you know, that we can be conformed to his image here. And that I don't know exactly. I don't have my Bible here, and I apologize. I flew out of the house. But I know the scripture says, walk in the spirit and you will not
fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the question was raised, well, how can we do that? We can't always, you know, stay in the spirit, or we, you know, we have jobs, we have things to do.
Nothing about a job requires you to get out of the spirit.
And, you know, we have our life that hits us, and, you know, it's only because it's been new for me, the dying part, you know, and it feels more and more like being so aware of his presence that it's hard for me to think about not being with him.
And that's as it should be.
And
absolutely. It people go through phases of growing in that. And if you are in a phase where you are enveloped in your flesh and your focus, especially if your focus is your flesh, it's very hard to imagine being in that place. But, you know, that's the reason why Romans 8 talks about the fact that what you focus on is what you are. If you are going to be carnally minded, then you are going to be loaded with sin, and you're not going to be pleasing to God. If you are spiritually minded, you're going to be loaded with righteousness, and you're going to be filled with peace. So if you're in peace, I don't mean a lack of turmoil. I mean actual peace that you can cut with a knife because you know that God is here. That's because you're thinking on spiritual things. If you are not, and if you're having problems with sin in your life, or having difficulty with feeling like you're progressing in your Christian walk, well, then your mind is probably most likely on the flesh a good portion of the time. And, I mean, what did the Bible say? He can keep them in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on him. Not wandering to and from, but stayed there. There's a reason why God used the word abide. He didn't say visit. He didn't say come by and stop by every once in a while, check in with me. He said you live there. Abide. Right? So is there a question in there or what?
No, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't being so forceful and what I was saying.
But
sometimes I can be very, you know, but...
Over the top?
Yeah. Best word.
Well, of course, not being there, I don't know what you said, but if all you're talking about is the ability to produce his image in you, well, then I would have to agree with that, because it would be an unrighteous standard for God to require it of us, and it'd be impossible to obtain. And we have the new covenant, and we know people in the old covenant that did it. You know, Enoch walked with God, and then God just took him. He didn't have physical death. He was translated right then and there. New body in the whole nine yards. If you can do that under the old covenant, you can't tell me you can't do it in the new. That would be a lie. Right? If Elijah can do that under the old covenant, and he didn't live 400 years, he lived less than a normal man's lifespan, and God just took him, received that glorified body, and was gone, well, then I imagine that we can do it under the new covenant. Just because of the fact that we're not experiencing it, because most often, the bottom line is we're lazy with our Christianity and our approach towards Christianity. My experience doesn't set the bar for what's possible. Because you need to be glad about that, by the way. My experience ain't all that great all the time, and you don't want that to be your standard.
Well, I think that's,
go ahead.
That's kind of what we were getting into and talking about.
Was that the conclusion you came to, or what?
Well, the possibility is there. You know, God wouldn't say it if it couldn't be done.
Absolutely.
Reality is that I guess I can't put anybody in my boat with me except myself. Mm-hmm. I don't see how I can be in that spiritual place 24 hours a day.
Okay. Define spiritual place.
to be one with him, to be so spiritually minded that whatever's going on around you is just...
Okay, define that too. I'm sorry.
Virginia, define that.
I'm just tacking you down so I can actually be with you where you're going, okay?
Because that's what, I mean...
Are you talking about being so spiritually minded that you're not aware of what's going around you, or what?
No.
That you're not affected by things that are going around you.
Okay.
But you're focused only on God. Doesn't make any difference if...
the house could be on fire.
Whatever, that you don't react human, natural way in the flesh. That you would only be focused on the way God would want.
Okay.
24/7.
I think maybe part of the thing that might be hard to envision is that maybe we're having a hard time envisioning what that would actually look like.
I imagine
if the house was on fire, Jesus would run out like everybody else and say, "Hey, the house is on fire." Mm-hmm. You know, it was just something he was throwing out there as an example. And there were times when Jesus, being fully in the Spirit, was also fully tired and very hungry and sweaty and wanting a shower. There were times when, being fully in the Spirit, he told his disciples, "How long am I going to have to put up with you guys?" Doesn't mean that people don't irritate you when you're in the Spirit. God, we irritate God all the time, and He is a Spirit, right? So sometimes we over-spiritualize things and think that that means that we don't experience emotions that are negative. And yet Jesus was a man of sorrows and well acquainted with grief, and He was walking in the Spirit all the time. God is hurt by our actions constantly.
I think that's the part that we forget about.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
we all do.
Well, you know, when you're looking at this list, and through teaching, it's the holy part, it's the spiritual part, it's the wonderful part, and we forget the man part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're trying so hard to... You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I hadn't thought about that part at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're so focusing on trying to be, you know...
That false image the enemy tries to sell every one of us, right?
In the, you know...
Your feet don't actually touch the ground.
Rocking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit all the time, and you're striving for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, well, you know what? But with you bringing that up, I mean, that changes the whole outlook for me.
No, I mean,
what we were talking about on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we talked about example.
Mm-hmm.
The car pulls out in front of you. You can't tell me, well, thank you, Lord, that the car pulled out in front of me. And be spiritual about that. You're ticked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you had to slam on the brakes. You know, and we have obligations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about needs. You know, our needs, are the needs different today than the needs were then?
Not really.
If you need money to put gas in a car, you need a car, you know. So, I mean, that's kind of the stuff that we were throwing around.
Yeah. And it's good. See, that's excellent, because you're walking through the gospel. Because if we can't put feet to it, then it's not worth anything, right? So that's a good thing. I mean, I think an example, and I hate to put Jim on the spot, but I'm putting him on the spot. He he's given several examples in here, and I'm not saying that Jim doesn't have days when he loses it too, because we all do. We're not there yet, but we're on our way. But, you know, you get to the point progressively where, you know, when he and I were just talking the other day, right out here, yesterday, in fact. Talking about how, and this was a conversation that took earlier, took place last week. But anyway, he had like two or three things that were set up for that day that just went south. As soon as he went there, the job didn't pan out what it needed to be, or it was just a big mess. And so he was just constantly having to travel and to get to, finally, be able to do one job at the end of the day. And in the past, I know that having worked with Jim, he probably would have gotten irritated about that, you know. But instead, he took it in stride. Now, that doesn't mean that if that happened the next day, he wouldn't have gotten upset. But you learn as you go, if your focus is on the Lord, that you're in this together. Really, in the end, what is this right here, this event, what is that really changing? Well, really, it's not changing anything. Bad things are going to happen, good things are going to happen. But in the end, I guess a lot of it comes down to our expectations. What are we looking to get out of life? Well, if what we're really looking for is union with God, well, then the journey, the details that come up in the journey, to say they don't affect us is crazy. But to say that they actually are game-changing, they really aren't. Because you can have a lousy day, the worst of all days, or the best of all days, and God is still with you. And if that's where our focus is, well, then, you know, the day turns out relatively well, even if the events in the middle of it were not all that pleasant. You know, I mean, and all of us have had really bad days. I want to be real clear on the issue. Like when Jesus would get, you know, he was just being honest with the disciples. He was like, how long am I going to have to put up with you guys? I'm certain that he was irritated with them on some level. But the difference between Jesus' level of irritation and Mark's level of irritation is I will act on my irritation. And Jesus did not. He did not allow his irritation to dictate his behavior. But there again, you know, he was working from the position of having never had sin holding him captive. I'm working out of that, right? You know, I mean, no, the chains of sin have been broken over me, but the patterns of sin had not, you know? I've fed some of those patterns, you know? And it takes a while to get rid of them. So it's a day by day. But yes, it's absolutely fully possible to walk absolutely as he walked. And I really believe, in all honesty, before the coming of our Lord, that it's going to be the norm in the body of Christ to walk and talk and act like him. It's going to be the oddity when we're going to have to fall on our face and say, Father God, I rebelled. I'm so sorry. And then, you know, the truth of the matter is, the closer we get to his image, the less that's going to happen, because the more sin offends us, you know. So, and in the end, what does it come down to? The one thing we've said over and over and over again is you cannot escape the intimacy factor. You can't get away from it. Because all of this will only work within the sphere of relationship. Genuine, not the pretentious relationship that religion talks about. I'm talking about experiential intimacy with him. There's no sidestepping that. You know, you can act pious all you like, but one day something's going to happen and what's in there is going to come out. You know what I mean? But if they don't have it in there, it can't come out. What did Jesus say? He said, the ruler of this world is coming and he's found nothing in me. And you know, now, and the closer we get to the image of Christ, the less and less things he's going to find in us. So that, yeah, it's fully possible. You could have someone pull right freaking in front of you, slam on the brakes. And I'm not saying you're going to break into the hallelujah chorus, but you might start praying for the person, praying for the safety around them, thinking, oh, holy God, I don't know what's going on with that person. Maybe they're drunk. Maybe they're having a heart attack. Maybe they got a phone call that someone just died. I mean, you don't know. We read into things because the fact that our whole world's about us and how it's affecting us. Right. And I do it. Does anybody not do that? Okay. So, you know, but can you get to the place where that would be your first consideration, the other person? Sure you could. Absolutely you can.
When we learn not to judge.
That's a big thing.
It changes it.
God's taught that to me, had to repeatedly teach that to me in driving, repetitively. Because I've had times when I was just really irritated when people would not put their blinker on until my blinker, someone told me one day, your blinker's broken. And then it dawned on me. Maybe theirs was. Maybe they did put their blinker on, and it didn't come on because it was broken and no one's told them. Or maybe they don't have the money to replace a stupid light bulb. Maybe they're a woman and they don't know, or even a man, and they don't know how to change the light bulb, and it costs $30 to have a mechanic do it, you know? You don't know what's going on with that person. Maybe they did put the blinker on. You know what I'm saying? So it makes you think again that, you know what? And maybe they forgot. Have you ever forgotten anything? So...
could be they're so distracted with what's happening in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Just not thinking. Yeah, and I think all of us can raise a hand to that one, right? So you're right. I agree with you absolutely, Jim, that, you know, we have to divorce ourselves from selfishness. Right?
Actually, it was Jim that got me started thinking more when he brought up that we should walk in healing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a lightning fast mind there. It seeped in
mm-hmm.
and went to other areas of my life. and in my mind. And it's helped when he said that. It just kind of went, all these little light bulbs went off, the domino effect.
Excellent.
I'm still it out in my health, you know, because it's almost the same way, same thing. You know, to glorify God in my body. Body, you're going to glorify God. You know what?
I think that was a big thing. That was one. I knew that was one of the big things Lord was wanting me to go through when we were talking about healing, was because I think it answers a lot of questions of the whys. Because the fact that, you know, the truth of the matter is that all of us know that there are areas and ways in which we are not honoring God in our body. And you're sowing seed. You know, and when you do that, you know, a sickness can come on you and it's not going to leave instantly. And God, and you know, and that doesn't mean that you're a bad person, that you normally wouldn't hear God concerning faith. Maybe God isn't speaking to you about your healing because of the fact that what you're going through right there is the result of having walked the way you shouldn't have walked. If I had been walking exactly the way I should have been walking, I may not have gotten sick at all. I could have, but I was sick for a good solid 4 days. You know, why didn't it go away any quicker? Well, chances are there's, you know, like any other human being, there's seed sown. And now's as good a time to reap as any. You know, I mean, I think you have to go through the scriptures. You'll find that God's very practical. If he doesn't have to create a problem or create an answer, he won't. 9 times out of 10, he'll use what's right there. What's right there.
Yeah, we still have to come to him even at that point and say, okay, God, I submit. You know, speak to my heart.
That's right. Not start seeking, now God, what did I do? How did I blow it? Because now we're under our own scrutiny, right? We play ourselves before him and say, Father, if I've done something wrong, I know you're going to show me, and so I'm not worrying about this. If there is faith to be had here, then I know you're going to show me. So I'm not worrying about anything. I'm not my own patrol, right? We have a Holy Spirit for that. Amen? Because, I mean, how many people would know what it's like to get in self-diagnostic mode and beat the snot out of yourself asking questions? Anybody know exactly what that's like, you know? And the truth is that, you know what, I mean, there are many times when things, you know, God is increasingly being revealed to me as the God that I didn't think he was. And, you know, and I'm more and more okay with that. I told Terry something today that I was in a conversation with a guy that I was completely in disagreement with, and I told him so. And we bantered back and forth. He was a very forthright individual. He wasn't defensive in any way, and neither was I. So we were just kind of that allowed the conversation to develop instead of it feeling like you're in a competition with someone playing a tennis game, trying to prove a point. We were just talking, and that's good and instructional. And we went back and forth quite a bit. And he sent me a little PDF file he thought he wanted me to read that he thought would address an issue. And so I read it, and it didn't address the issue to me at all, but it did teach me something that I didn't know. And it challenged me on a level. And so I'm like, well, okay, so I'll look this up. So I did. He was told this PDF was talking about the three different covenants, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and the new covenant that we've received. And under the Abrahamic covenant, I haven't done a full study on this yet, but he said that under the Abrahamic covenant, there wasn't any judgment for sin. And I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, well, you know what? I can't remember a time when God came to Abraham or came to Isaac or came to Jacob and said, this is coming on you because you were deceptive and you lied and you killed and you stealed and you stole, I'm sorry, and you did these things. I never one time. Now, as soon as the law came, bam, I mean, every time, because you did this, this is happening. Before the law, you just don't see it. It's just not there. Now, it happens, I'm talking about in the Abrahamic covenant, those that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm not talking about everybody else. I'm talking about them, all right? And now, their descendants really didn't walk in their ways like they should have under Egyptian bondage. And, of course, it was right after that they were given the law, and now it's, if you do something wrong, judgment's coming. Right? But under the primary three, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were doing all kinds of garbage that you can't tell me that even a common person wouldn't have known was wrong. And God didn't say, because of this, this is going to happen. You just don't see it. It's not there. And one of the things, of course, is there wasn't a law. There was no law at that point. But there again, that doesn't change a lot of things because all the nations of the earth were under judgment. And now what I'm getting to is this point right here. I thought, well, I know one, this one for sure. The children of Israel, they were put in bondage for 400 years. They had to do something wrong. So I'm going to find that. So I went looking. I could find nothing. The only thing I could find is one reference, and that was when God told Moses, he said, because of the fact that the Ammonites who live in the land of Canaan, which I promised you, their judgment is not ripe yet. Your people will go into bondage for 400 years until the Ammonites' judgment is ready, and then I will use you to drive them out of the land. So their going to Egypt had to do with the fact that they just had to wait for another person. That's the only answer you can find in the scriptures. It had nothing to do with them doing something wrong. He said, you're going to stay in Egypt, and you're going to be in bondage for 400 years, and the whole reason is because of the fact the Ammonites are not ready. Their judgment isn't ripe yet. In 400 years, it will be. And at that time, I'll bring you out of Egypt, and I will use you to drive them out of the land. That was the reason they went into bondage. Wow. They hadn't done anything wrong. It wasn't judgment on them. And you were like, well, that's just not fair. Well, you know what? God's not who you think he is. I haven't read anywhere in the Bible where he said everything's going to be fair. Haven't read it. Have never found that one. See, it makes people uneasy. You know what I mean? I'm always seeing it on people's faces. But you know what? And I can tell you, 7 years ago, I would not have been happy with that answer. But the truth is, I'm still really not all that happy with it, but I don't care. I'm all right with it. It says it, and I'm good with it. Period. God is who he is. What are you going to do with it? That's the reason why I like this chapter that we're reading right now with the women, because that's exactly the God that's being revealed. This is who I am. Deal with me. I'm not going to make an apology for who I am. I am who I am. And you'll either take me based on who I am, or you'll leave me based on who I am. But I ain't changing. And I'm not making an apology. And that just leaves us standing there thinking, well, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, we all come to that place where Peter came. Many of us will come there multiple times before the show's over. So I'm telling you, God's not who you think he is. And we all know that, don't we? Because the scripture says that on that day, he's going to reveal himself and we're going to finally see him as he really is. Which means that what we've been thinking is not right. And that's kind of obvious, isn't it? Lots to learn.
I beg your pardon, but I didn't promise you a rose garden.
That's right. This is true. So anyway, very good. I'm glad you brought that up, Virginia. Anyone else?
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but when you first suggested that we sit down and take the list and make sure that we all agreed, mm-hmm. My brain was like it's like a list. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know we've talked about lists, and we don't do lists.
We don't do to-do lists.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, years ago when we joined the church and there was the commitment letter and mm-hmm. it and you went down and you checked off, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of thought that this is the way this was going to...
Lead. No, it's not. You won't be asked to sign a commitment letter.
No, but in my own head, uh-huh. you know, in my own life experiences, mm-hmm. you know, this is where I thought this was going. Mm-hmm. So, as I looked at this and listened and we talked about different things, mm-hmm. and as I prayed about it, we're all unique individuals.
Yep,
God created us that way. He doesn't need for us all to be the same. Mm-hmm. And he has put us together to...
refine.
Yeah, to balance each other out. Mm-hmm. You know, so... I think that has made a difference in the way I have looked at this.
Good.
You know, it's okay that everybody is not a robot mm-hmm. and does not agree. You need to agree to the basics.
The fundamentals.
Yes.
The things that are absolute.
But it's, you don't have to agree about every single.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think that that Paul said it the clearest, and that is that we are not supposed to be in disputes over doubtful things. Well, if Paul had areas that he thought were doubtful, well, then I would think that chances are we all have to have that same thing. There are things that are very clear in Scripture. And I think that for the most part, the things that we've taught on are not doubtful issues, they're very clear issues, which is why I wanted us to go through this. And if they are doubtful in someone's mind, that's why we need to look at it. Because no one's going to get smacked on the wrist because to you it's doubtful. That's fine. Let's spend some time with it. Let's work through the Scriptures. Amen? Yeah, I think that, and I forget who it was. Was it Augustine who said that in the Essentials Agreement, in the, I forget how the quote goes. But anyway, the bottom line was that he was looking for unity on the things that were unfungible. They were established. They were concrete in Scripture. We have to agree on these points. There are other areas. One of the areas that Paul brought up as being doubtful had to do with genealogies. You know, you might claim that, you know, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of and grandfather of Jesus died at 27 instead of 58. Well, you know, who cares, right? Do we also agree Jesus is who he was? He was the promised Messiah, and he was the fulfillment of a prophecy. Okay, then end game, that's the essential. What date someone died and, you know, and trying to track back genealogies, these things are doubtful. Who cares? Right? So that's one example of a doubtful thing. Yeah, I mean, especially with the Jewish history, there's no way of going back to, they didn't have birth records, not like we have records. And, you know, there's no way to go back and prove stuff like that. So genealogies to Paul fell into a doubtful area. It didn't matter. Jesus was everything he was prophesied he was supposed to be, period. We all agree on that. That's what Paul was saying. So that's the reason why I'm aiming at, I want to make sure that we understand that the fundamental things, like we need to be in agreement about faith. I think that's a rather large issue, wouldn't you? I mean, we're called believers, right? So if we don't even agree as to what that means and what belief is, what faith is, where it comes, how it operates, well, then that's a fundamental. That's a big deal, right? If we don't agree on the color of the carpet, that's another issue. No one cares, right? You may not agree on how we go about having communion, which is why we have broken up and done it several different ways, because there isn't a prescribed way in Scripture. And so now you might be able to dive into extra biblical history and find two or three churches where it gave a way that they did it. Well, that's great, but that still doesn't prove that that's the way the apostle said you had to do it. You know something? So that would be doubtful. Are you following me? Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, we have tried to mix it up a little bit just to keep it from falling into a rut where it loses its significance. But at the same time, we're not dogmatic about that either, right? But that we need to have communion and what those the different things inside of communion represent, we need to be pretty strong on that. Is everybody following what I mean by these things? So that's what I meant about us having these time together, is the things that we have covered. If there's areas of concern, areas of discontentment or disagreement on the areas that we brought up, those are areas we need to work through. Chances are you'd find, if you went back and you listened to the recordings, which we have, it would probably help you work through it, more than likely. But we're willing to work through it now. I'm fine with that. No problem at all. So I agree. Yep. Anyone? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, and I don't have the exact reference, but when the elders had to all meet on some issues that had come up, and when they came back, they started going through the list of the things that were important. And, you know, when it came to things that weren't important, they said, we have no law concerning this.
That's right. Absolutely. So there are obviously things that are more important than others. Amen? And I think that's, so far, really, we've kind of stuck to those kind of things in what we've been talking about. And really, that's what you need to teach about. Teaching needs to be about established doctrine, what we know to be true. Otherwise, why are you teaching it? Right? Teaching is teaching about doctrine.